Well, when I look at the Kyler Uche trial and what's been going on there, I believe that Matt Flynn or Channel 9 KMBC has done the best job in the Metro covering this story. And he now joins us here on KCMO Talk Radio on a Thursday morning just after 9 o'clock as the jurors have resumed deliberations here. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Pete. How are you?
We're doing well. So just to kind of set the stage here for people that are maybe not familiar with the story, Kyler Uche is accused of killing Kara Kopetsky in 2007 when she was last seen leaving Belton High School in May of that year. He's also then accused of killing Jessica Runyons. They were last seen leaving a party together in 2016. A hunter found the remains in a Cass County farm field back in 2017. Uche decided that he was going to testify in his own defense yesterday. How did that go?
It was really the shock of the afternoon. I think a lot of people thought he would not take the stand, but right after lunch, he came back and he told the judge, yes, I want to take the stand in my own defense. And then on the stand, he basically said he did not kill Kara Kopetsky, he did not kill Jessica Runyons, and he pinned the blame on his half-brother, Jessup Carter, who died by suicide in the Jackson County Jail in 2018. So it was a wild turn of events yesterday to let the jury of 10 women and 2 men hear this directly from the defendant himself, and quite an afternoon.
Could you tell? Did he do himself any favors there?
You know, as one of the newspaper reporters here who works for the North Cass Herald pointed out, he was going back and forth with the prosecution. He bent, but he didn't break. And I thought he held his own on cross-examination. Now, whether or not the jury actually believes his story, that the prosecution waited, that the prosecution pointed out that he waited until now, right before the jury, to tell that his half brother was involved in both of these disappearances and murders. It'll be fascinating to see if the jury actually believes him and believes his testimony to be credible.
Well, that's where I was going to go next, Matt. Like, the fact that he does take the stand in his own defense moments before the jury was set to deliberate this thing tells me he probably wasn't feeling good about his odds. Based on what had happened up until yesterday, is that a fair assessment? Should he have not been feeling good about his odds of being found not guilty?
Yeah, you really saw the defense's case stall. I mean, they didn't. It was almost like they didn't put enough gas in the engine here with their case. They just had so many witnesses excluded. I think we counted 10 witnesses that were excluded to help bolster his defense about this idea that his half brother Jessup Carter committed these murders. But Judge Collins, he excluded some of these witnesses, finding them not to be relevant or reliable. So the defense's case, it was really almost slipshod. They were trying to reach for things, but with these witnesses getting excluded, I think Kyler Uche finally saw, hey, I this is my last chance. I need to tell the jury my piece.
Matt Flynner, KMBC Channel 9, he's been covering the Kyler Uche trial as the jury is still deliberating. So, we haven't talked to you, Matt, obviously, about this story, but as you've been following along, what has been the most explosive piece from the prosecution, which looks like it's got a certainly has leverage in this case in these two murders, but where has been the strongest case from the prosecution throughout all this?
You know, I think the emotional pull from the prosecution before the jury has been the strongest piece of this. They've, of course, put, expert witnesses on the stand. They've tried to put together a timeline with Kara Kopetsky and Jessica Runyon's phone records. They've put witnesses on the stand who heard Kyler Uche allegedly confess to killing Kara Kopetsky. And then, you've had plenty of people who have also heard these tapes. There was actually some tapes, an FBI recording, in fact, of Kyler Uche, allegedly confessing to killing Kopetsky. So they have multiple things that they put before the jury. But I think the real emotional tug here is their strongest point.
What about the motivation for Kyler Uche killing these two women 9 years apart, allegedly? What have they gotten to for the bottom of that on the prosecution side?
And that's something the defense really pointed out, is that you know, they weren't able to really pinpoint when or how Kara Kopetsky and Jessica Runyon actually died. And they've also not been able to really point out that motivation. Now, the prosecution has said this was a crime of passion, that he got angry and in a fit of rage, he strangled both women. But the defense really tried to point out that, hey, we don't have any conclusive evidence to show that Kyler Uist actually committed these murders.
What about the character of a guy like Kyler Uist? I assume that has obviously been under close inspection. What has the jury come away with, or at least, you know, in your inspection to this and watching this and covering this, what have they come away with thinking, and how has the character of Kyler Uist been portrayed throughout all this?
Yeah, I mentioned that FBI tape, that 6-hour FBI hidden recording that was played before the jury. And as I was listening to that recording, I heard the highs and lows of Kyler Uist. You had a guy who, you know, he was jovial during one portion of the hidden recording, and then he was extremely serious and almost depressed in another section of this. And so I think you've heard testimony to that fact that, hey, he could be fun-loving, he could be, you know, he could be a great guy at some points, but then he testified himself, he got really depressed, and he would get angry at points and those types of things. So two sides of the spectrum there for Uist.
And how did they get a hold of those FBI recordings? How did that happen?
Yeah, so that happened back in February of 2011. One of Kyler Uist's one of Kyler Uist's former girlfriends actually, you know, wore a hidden wire, and they went out to the woods where Kara Kopetsky was allegedly buried. This was Kyler Uist's story that, hey, I want to take you out to the woods, and we're going to try and contact the spirit of Kara Kopetsky. And so it was about a 6-hour day, a 6-hour recording that these two spent together. And on that tape, you hear Kyler Woods actually talk about killing Kara Kopetsky. Ultimately, they did not find Kara Kopetsky in that location. The FBI didn't. And Kyler Uist was never arrested after that. And of course, we know what happens just 5 years later. Jessica Runyon goes missing and is killed.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt. So you got the jury deliberation continuing today. You were, I know, at the courthouse late last night. They spent 3 hours there. Do we have any idea in a timeline today and how much longer the deliberation could continue?
Well, the only thing we know is from what we heard last night from the judge, is that the jury was not close last night to making a decision. That was about 8:30 when they came back and said that, and they said they wanted to be done at 10 o'clock last night. Now, this jury is from St. Charles County over near St. Louis. It's about 4 hours away. You got to wonder, hey, do they want to be getting home sometime soon? They've already been gone, you know, almost 2 weeks now from home, and so that may be playing into it. But I think there's a lot here that they're deliberating when it comes to the evidence and possibly lack thereof. And so there's a lot of discussion I know that's happening in that jury deliberation room today.
Wow, he is Matt Fleener, KNBC Channel 9. He's done a great job covering this Kyler Uist trial. Thank you so much for being here, Matt. Looking forward to keeping up with your updates here throughout the day on KCMO. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, Pete. Thanks.
You bet. He's Matt Fleener on KCMO Talk Radio.